ان الحمد لله والصلاه والسلام على اشرف الانبياء وعلى اله واصحابه ومن والاه وبعد. My dear brothers and sisters, we continue with the series on challenges of 21st century parenting. And today I remind myself and you to reflect on what is it that we as parents can give to the children who are going into a world that we really know nothing about. Now, today when you want to define the modern world, we almost invariably define it in terms of technology. And we call it the world of the internet, the world of mobile phones, and the world of fast intercontinental travel, and so on and so forth. But it's not just a question of technology. The world has changed in terms of values, in terms of ethics, in terms of morals, in terms of what is important and what is not important. And I think that is far more critical and far more potentially powerful, both positively and negatively. It's far more dangerous, and it also has far more potential positive value than all the technology put together. Technology is a tool. This is one of the tragedies of our times, that we don't seem to be confused the tool for the purpose, the use to which the tool can be put. Technology is a tool, and like any tool, it can be put to multiple uses. I mean, how you can use a tool is really a factor of your imagination. Something may be made for a particular purpose, but it doesn't mean that it has to be used only for that purpose. A chair is made to sit on, but you can stand on the chair to gain some height to reach a high shelf. The chair was not made for that, but it can be used for that. That's a perfectly legitimate use of the chair. And similarly for many other things. So when we look at a television set, or we look at a telephone, or a mobile phone, or we look at the internet and so on, these are tools. How you are going to use those tools depends on the framework of your thinking that you apply when you approach that tool. So what are your ethics and values? What are your morals? What are the things that are important to you? These are the things that will decide how the tool is used. Take for example, today in this world, we use drones to deliver packages. Very nice, a very convenient thing. The thing just comes in and great, very cool. I mean, it's great fun. The drone just comes in from Amazon or wherever, and lands on your terrace, or lands in front of you and delivers the package. There are drones which are used to give emergency medical aid to people, especially somebody has a stroke or has a heart attack, and a drone can get there and administer medical aid remotely in minutes, whereas even the best ambulance service in the world will take far longer to get to that particular place. And in many countries, it might just get there too late. So drones are used for delivering packages. Drones are used for saving lives, and drones, as we know, are also used for taking life, for killing. So. And of course, drones for surveillance and so on, so on. So at the end of the day, it's the same tool, the drone, but how is it used depends on the people using it. It depends on what they consider to be important, and so therefore they use it in that sense. The same logic applies to everything. Same logic applies to everything. So there's no tool that is in itself good or bad. It can't possibly be. It's a completely insane argument to blame the tool. A teapot is a teapot. It's neither good nor bad. But the point is that how the tool is used. So it's the human being behind the tool who's good or bad. It's the mind behind the tool which is good or bad. It's not the tool in itself. The tool is a tool. Now, this is the reason I'm saying this is because when we approach our children from our generation, we are a generation, we like to talk about the good old days, and sometimes we go overboard with it. Certainly they were very nice days, and many of my generation have some very pleasant memories. But those good old days also didn't have air conditioning, and try and turn off your AC in 40 degree temperature, and you know exactly how good the good old days were. and so on and so forth. So we didn't have a lot of the facilities that are there today, which we really and thoroughly enjoy. So when we talk about the good old days and we condemn the bad news days, we should really take it seriously and be fair. But that's not the issue. The issue is not just talking about good old days. And that's why we sometimes, or a lot of times, we don't make sense to the children, because what's the good of talking to them about a period that they really can only hear about from you, because there is no way of visualizing it. It was not part of their life experience. They can never see it anywhere because it's gone. In most cases, it's gone for good, never to come back. So it's at best it's a story. If you tell it nicely, it's a nice story. Most people don't know how to tell stories, so they make a lovely, beautiful story sound like some drudge. So it's not even a nice story in that case. So now, what's to be done with the good old days? That's where we come in, and that is the whole whole issue of perspective. If you get lost in a desert, in some kind of a flat place, and you are lost, you don't know the way, what normally happens is that people just go around in circles. They go around and around and around until they perish. But if you want to get out of that place, what you need to do is find some kind of a high spot, climb a tree or a telephone pole or whatever that might be there, and then try to see if you can spot some place of help, or maybe a major road or whatnot on the horizon, which will give you direction. Now, that is called perspective. Perspective gives direction. What is perspective? Perspective is the ability to simultaneously hold two pictures in your mind, a picture of where you are and a picture of where you want to go. And this is perspective looking at future. Perspective in terms of history is to hold a picture of where you were simultaneously with a picture of where you are, which helps you to find a picture of where you want to go. And that's the single point use of history. There's no other use of history. History otherwise is a bunch of stories which have no value. If you really want to understand the value of history, you have to be able to interpret history in terms of its context, what there was compared to what there is today, so that we can find a way towards the future. And that's perspective, which is the three positions, where we were, where we are, and going forward. Now, in the case of parents and children, going forward in the future, both are blank. The children also don't know what's in the future, neither do the parents. But what the parents have is a enormous, something of potentially enormous, enormously great value. And that is a vision of the past. The parents know the full story. They know how things were, and they know how things are today. Children only know how things are today. They don't know how things were. Now, how things, some of them might ignore it. They say, well, it's not important. Of course it's important, because that's where you came out of. That's the age that preceded us. Why do you think Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the Bani Israel so many times in the Quran? Because they were the people who preceded us in this world. And therefore, if we learn their history, we learn lessons from that history. Lessons of what to do and lessons of what to avoid, so that we win and we save ourselves a lot of grief. It doesn't look like we are learning anything, but this is the potential. We can do that, and that's the reason why the history is mentioned so many times in the Quran. So we as parents have this vision of the past. This is where we came out of. The difficulties we came out of, our nation became free. Some of us have memories of even the time when we were not free, and so on. So this is where we came out of. This is our historical perspective. And from this historical perspective, today we are here now in this 21st century. So we have a picture of the past. We also have a picture of the present. Whereas children have only a picture of the present. The future is blank for both of us. But because we have a picture of the past and the present, we are in a far better position to be able to visualize what the challenges of the future might be. And more importantly, even if you can't visualize the challenge of the future, we have tools to deal with that. We have critical thinking, we have critical analysis, we have historical perspective, we have the means to deal with the challenges that the future might bring for us. And that is the value that we can add to the children. Give them perspective, give them the benefit of history as a means of learning how to survive in a world that we know nothing about. So it's not the actual what happened and who said what, but it's what do we learn from that. So for example, if you read history and we say, well, this is a battle that took place between people who invaded from some other country and came into this country, it's not the... What is important is not where the battle happened, what's important is not who fought whom. What is important is how did we allow outsiders to come and influence us insiders in a way where we started fighting amongst ourselves. The whole issue of divide and rule is to blame the people who divided and therefore ruled. But far more important is to understand and say, why did we get divided in the first place? Because somebody might want to divide us, but we cannot be divided unless we agree with what those people want. Now, why did we agree? Because we were willing to go against our own brothers and sisters for our own short-term gain. So we were greedy, we were selfish, and we paid the price. And that is the kind of lesson that we learn. This is a historical lesson at a macro level, the same kinds of lessons at a micro level, to look at ourselves and say, what is it that we are doing? Why is it that we, for example, have, why are there fights between brothers and sisters? Why is it that we have so much difficulty forgiving each other when we want forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and so on? So how can we use our own life perspective, our own life histories, to help our children to make sense of their world, not by in terms of content, but in terms of context, in terms of tools, in terms of ways of thinking, in terms of ways of approaching the world, which will, inshallah, give them an extremely valuable resource to deal with their own future when we are no longer with them. In any case, even if we are with them, we still don't know what that future holds. So context and not content, which is important. Now, this therefore means that we have to apply our minds and we have to think about our own lives, and we say, what lessons do we learn, and so on and so forth. I have tried to put all of this together into a book, which will, inshallah, come out in the near future. Now we are in April, so hopefully by about June or so, this book should be published, which is a book on the reflections, my own reflections in my life, what I have seen and what I've experienced, and so on. And I hope this will be useful for those who read it, and also hopefully interesting to read as well. So the whole point is that is when we have a content, how can we take it and convert it into context which is applicable and which is useful for the future? We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us to do that which is beneficial for us and which is pleasing to Him, and to save us from that which is not. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.